Our scripture today comes from John 15:7-12. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is the commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
I really do love balloons. The scripture that Debbie just read for us, this is part of John's summing up. It's Jesus summing up his time and his teachings and his experience with his disciples before he goes to the cross. In some ways, we're stepping back, right? We just went through Lent, and then we celebrated the resurrection, and we had Pentecost. We're supposed to be looking forward now. I'm sorry, we're taking a step back a bit, but there's a reason for this. Jesus has just told his disciples that he's about to die. So this is not a happy moment. This is not a, hey, look, a balloon. Let's play kind of moment. And yet he says to them, I tell you all this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. Why would they be experiencing joy in the midst of a conversation about Jesus' death? Because what? Because they remember the time that he was with them, yes. Yeah, because he's giving them a framework for understanding that time, to say, that time, that experience that we had, this is not a failure for that. This doesn't mean that we failed. This doesn't mean that that's all for naught. In fact, this is part of that same journey. All that stuff that we did, all that work that we did to find life in the midst of this death-dealing empire that we live in, right, under Roman rule, or in the world, in the kingdom of the world around us, this is part of the journey. And you will continue to live into this. He says, as you continue to be my disciple, God is honored through this. And this is how your joy will be made complete, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you must love each other, right? Let me give you a working definition. This is not, don't go look this up on Webster's or Merriam-Webster's or the OED. This is not a textbook definition. But for the purposes of the series that we're about to do on joy over the next couple of weeks, a working definition for joy versus happiness. Happiness are those moments that we often chase that make us feel good, right? Those experiences around us that give us a reason that set off endorphins in our heads, right? That give us a reason to feel good. Whereas joy is something more sustaining. It's not reactive to the world around us, but it is a proactive way of being in the world. Let me give you an example. When I was growing up, all the messaging for kids was don't do drugs. I don't know how many of you are in my age bracket, but everything was don't do drugs. Drugs are bad. Drugs will ruin your life. And when I and other kids my age experimented with drugs and felt like, hey, actually, you know what? That feels good for a minute, right? There was this moment where we were like, everybody lied to us. All the adults in our lives lied to us. Actually, there's a reason these exist. There's a reason people do them. Feels good for a minute, right? The problem isn't that drugs don't make you feel good for a minute. The problem is, after you feel good for a minute, they make you feel terrible afterward. Is that fair to say? I mean, I don't know how many of you have that experience. Probably none of you. None of you have that experience. Neither do I. I said that, just made that up. But anyway, but you feel terrible afterward. And after a while, you need the thing just to, as we talk about, just to get even. Just to feel not bad anymore, right? And then people will talk about in addiction communities how you're chasing the dragon. You're always trying to find that elation, that moment, that high that will never come again. Now, you don't have to have any experience with drugs to know what I'm talking about. We live in a world of chasing. We live in a world where we spend most of our time working so that we can get to the weekend and do something that gets us away from the life that we've built for most of our time. We save and save and save our money so that we can retire and go do something that's totally different than the life that we end up spending most of our lives building. We're always chasing that thing that can that's exciting or that can distract us. We get home from a long day and, I don't know, maybe turn on the TV, maybe grab a beer, maybe start doom scrolling on our phones, whatever it is that just sort of helps us numb out until we can go to bed or until we find the next exciting thing to do. We're always either chasing the next excitement, or we are running from grief, sorrow, struggle, maybe just the mundane, maybe just the quiet. And I don't think this is new. It's easy to say, oh, woe is me, these times we live in, right? Everything's terrible now. But what was the famous thing that the Roman Empire did to distract people from when things got really terrible, when everybody should have been revolting and they didn't, because the Roman Empire provided what? Yeah, bread and circuses, right? Gladiator fights, bread and circuses. You give people food, and I don't know about you, but that is one of the ways that I numb, right? When I'm feeling really bad, hey, listen, if I can put something in my mouth that makes me feel good for a minute, okay, well, hey, that sounds good. I'll do that, and I'm okay for a minute. Or distraction, entertainment, right? So nothing's changed in the last 2,000 years? I don't know. Maybe everything's new again and nothing's changed. But I think it's part of empire that we create these, rather than creating wholeness or a sense of well-being, when things begin to fall apart, we distract. And what Jesus is saying to his disciples is, we have spent the last 3 years talking about the kingdom of God, how it is different, how it isn't something that we are moving toward. It's not a distraction. It is not. Now listen, I'm about to die, and this is not a happy moment, but this is also not a failure, because the truth is, we were not moving, we weren't doing, the last 3 years, we weren't working toward a thing, the kingdom of God on earth. The last 3 years, everything we were doing, the journey was the destination. Every time we fed the hungry, even though we didn't think we had enough food to do it ourselves, right? Send these people away. They're hungry. We don't have enough food. What does Jesus? You feed them. Every time we feed them, when we know, the world tells us there's no way, we don't have enough. You were living into the kingdom of God on earth. Every time we welcomed the stranger, every time we clothed the naked, every time we sat down and ate with the people we weren't supposed to sit down and eat with, right? Every time we touched the untouchable, every time we healed the sick, every time we did the impossible, and did it all with a song in our hearts. did it all not meeting the anger and frustration of the world around us with anger and frustration, but meeting it with the joy of knowing that we are, this is it, we are living. This is the kingdom of God on earth. So yes, does Caesar still sit on the throne? Sure. But what does he say in Elf? You sit on a throne of lies. Okay, that hit better in this service than it did in the first service. Okay, good, I'm glad. Or, you know, if you're a little more traditional, every time we do these things, and we do it with joy in our hearts, we show the world that the emperor has no clothes, right? That the throne means nothing if we're not invested in that power structure. Sit at the top of a power structure that means nothing, you're welcome to it. Because that's not life. A life where we are constantly running toward the next peak or away from the valley in which we find ourselves, where we cannot experience the moment, is no life at all. That's not the life that God is calling us to. We are a resurrection people, but that doesn't mean we skip Good Friday or the not knowing of Holy Saturday. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death because we know that the brokenness of this world does not have the last word, and so it takes the time that it takes, and we do not run. Instead, the joy of the Lord is what allows us to be the rock on which the storms break against. When the world is good, that's great. We continue to do the work that God has called us to do. When the world is falling apart, that's terrible. And we continue to do the work God has called us to do. This Tuesday, we have an election. Probably didn't notice. I'm sure none of you have gotten phone calls or seen TV ads. Or anybody watch TV anymore? I've shut it off for the season. We have an election. It's just a primary, but still, it begins an election season. And this is a time that we tend to, this gets to be, let's be honest. I was going to say, this is when things get really divisive in our community. No, we really never ended the election season, right? We're just in a constant election season. Everything's divisive. Everything feels divisive around us, right? And this is, in some ways, this is the epitome of it, right? This is the thing that divides us. Okay, maybe we see eye to eye on most things, but there are a couple things we don't agree on. The election is when you got to choose a side, right? You got one or the other, right? This is the thing. Except we are not those people. We are not Democrats or Republicans. We're not liberals or conservatives. Yes, we believe in things. We believe in things deeply. We care about the issues that are that the world is facing. We are called to be part of the solution, the healing of the world, but we do not believe that that an election is going to fix our problem. We are not going to elect the kingdom of God on earth. Believe me, I've tried for the last 47 years, and it has not worked yet, and I don't think it's gonna. We do not elect the kingdom of God on earth. We go and we vote. Vote on Tuesday, and then in November, vote again. Vote your conscience. Do the best you can. Do not forget who you are on Tuesday. Also, don't forget that you are a neighbor, first. Also, don't forget that we are called to love. Go do the work, and do it with a song in your heart. Don't try to heal the brokenness of the world by hating the world. You can't do that. Go do the thing on Tuesday, and know that no matter who wins on Tuesday, no matter who wins Wednesday morning, we're all going to have the same work to do, living into the kingdom of God. And that's not a flaw in the system, because the journey is the destination. May we find the joy in Christ that sustains us when we're winning, when we're losing, because it is all part of the life God has called us to. Amen.